Hi, I'm Brooke Taylor, the pastor of Missio Church. We exist to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ without having to come or go anywhere. Thank you so much for listening to our sermon series on the letters of John called Light and Love. We are so excited about what God is teaching us through His Word as we study it together. It's the prayer of the elders of Missio Church that listening to this sermon would help transform you into the image of Jesus Christ and deepen your relationship with Him. We desire that this sermon would be a supplement to your regular engagement with a local church and would not in any way replace you gathering with that church and submitting to the leaders that God has put over your life. If the elders of Missio Church can be of any assistance to you, you can contact us through our website, www.missiochurch.faith. You can also email us at admin@missiochurch.faith or by calling us 631-241-2136. If you're not a part of a local church, you can gather with us each Sunday at 10 a.m. at 70 Smith Road in Ridge, New York. We hope you enjoy today's message.
We have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him. And this is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as He commanded us. Whoever keeps His commandments abides in God and God in him. And by this we know that He abides in us by the Spirit whom He has given us. You may be seated. If you've been in church here at Missio for any of the past few weeks, you probably realize that the Apostle John, the author of 1 John, has emphasized the fact that we are to love God and His Son Jesus, and the proof of that is how we love the brethren, God's children. John has also said how much Jesus has done for us by dying on the cross for our sins. He says we can know we are saved and going to heaven, which is summed up in a future verse in 1 John chapter 5, 13. It is a summation of all of 1 John, and it reads this way. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So, let's get back to our passage, if you're following along in your Bibles. Right up front in verse 19, it says, by this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before Him. Well, what does the heart of man represent? It's probably our innermost being. Who we are basically is the heart, our personality, our soul. Some would say our conscience, right? At this past Monday night's grief share here at the church, Dr. Paul Tripp said in our video that there is no one that speaks to you more in your life than yourself. Think about that. We all talk to ourselves on an ongoing basis, right? Sometimes we share our feelings with ourselves, and all manner of extremes are brought out. John here starts us off by saying we can know that we are saved and going to heaven and assure our hearts. Why do we have to have assurance? Because we doubt. We talk to ourselves, right? We doubt. We all have times of those doubts. Remember, John is writing to believers here. We will know that we are of truth. Why don't we always have assurance? Well, Dr. Stephen J. Lawson suggests four basic reasons we doubt our salvation and suggests that there are degrees of assurance. The first is not knowing enough. We either forget or just don't know enough about what Jesus has done for us. To you young people, You need to know what the gospel is. You need to find out and preach to yourself. You'll eventually come into faith, true faith, maybe be baptized. And then at times, you'll have to preach to yourself, okay? The gospel itself, I'm reading a book about what is the gospel by Greg Gilbert. In it, he says, you would think that asking a Christian what is the gospel would be totally unnecessary. It's like asking a carpenter to sit around and ponder the question, what is a hammer? End quote. Sadly, most Christians are not sure of what the gospel exactly is and live their lives just hoping that they will go to heaven. Like the athlete who waits for his name to be posted on the coach's list, did I make the team? Did I make the team? Or the little leaguer whose parents and family wait after going to all those games during the season for the phone call that tells the family that their tender young little leaguer now has made the league's all-star team. Or the young couple that goes to the bank and asks for a loan for their first house. Oh, the trepidation of that, right? We were 23 when we did that. And we were out of state. We didn't have an advocate. Our parents weren't with us. We had just graduated college. We asked for a loan from a big bank, Citibank. Yeah. And it was very intrepidating, right? We had our doubts. We had our concerns, okay? We didn't know enough, even though I became a banker. Second, we are human with our faults. We're born being wired all differently, right? Our personality, our heart, none are the same. Then someone introduces the Lord into our life and we become a Christian, but we still have our personality, call it our predisposition, that can sometimes cause us to question and doubt more than others. Let's say the obsessive type personality or type A. I'm sure you know one. They all look at the world and try to fix it or become obsessed with a certain outlook toward like politics or working out to hold off aging or interests that take up so much time. Assurance of salvation can sometimes overwhelm them. They will overanalyze everything. Everything has to be perfect, that there is no real step of faith there. The danger is, Lawson says, rather than gazing at Christ and glancing at themselves, they are gazing at themselves and only glancing at Christ. Then the third reason is just prolonged obedience and guilt over past sins. People know that their heart is in rebellion to God and His Word, but they continue to be disobedient, unchecked, and sometimes unashamed. They think, I'm too far gone. God won't, or worse yet, He can't forgive me and lead me to a better way. And then the fourth reason is the person that simply has unconfessed sin in their life. They have to clear their vision by bringing those sins to the foot of the cross. Perhaps one option is for this person to go to church and confess their sins before they partake of the Lord's Supper. It's like mud on their windshield. Until they get it off, they will have trouble with their vision and may lose direction. They are in a dangerous place spiritually. Let's move on as John guides our thoughts here. There are times when we do have feelings of condemnation, finding fault, assigning blame within us. This can be very harmful. At other times, hearts have conviction of sin, and this is a good thing at times if the sin needs to be addressed, which again is where the Lord's Supper can be helpful. So let's look at verse 20. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. And He knows everything. How much is everything? Everything. He knows everything, right? What a glorious truth. When we wonder, God knows exactly where our souls are and the state of our soul. Our view of our soul can be thrown off by circumstances and just human frailty. So God knows your heart and that you are of the truth. We are often too hard on ourselves. Oftentimes we do the wrong thing and have our hearts convicted. You know, you might be sitting there being convicted of your sin right now. And God knows our heart, both the conviction and the comfort of that, okay? It's conviction that he knows all about our sin. Hebrews 4:13 says, "And no creation is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." We need to have a healthy fear of God because he knows every conversation, every activity, every motive. Over in John 16:8 says, "And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment." The Holy Spirit is convicting the world of sin. We feel that conviction, not condemnation. I'm never going to be right with God. Trust God more than your heart, which has ever-changing feelings, right? A little story here. You've been coming to Missio Church for the last few weeks, and you've heard Pastor talk about the fact that we should be loving our brothers and sisters in the Lord, right? Okay, so say that you feel that you're going to try that, you're going to do that. And you go home, and you look at your address book, and you find a name, and you say, "Oh, I wonder if they would accept an invitation to go to lunch." So you call that person and you go to lunch, and you're happy. You don't know them very well; you're just acquaintances. But you go to lunch and you listen and you lean in and you hear everything that they're saying, and the person says, "Yeah, I have this problem going on." And you say, "Well, I have a book on that. It's out in the car. I'll let you borrow it." And you go and you get the book before the lunch is over. You give them the book and. You say goodbye, you shake hands, and you leave, and you feel really good, right? But then you get home, and you look at your email, and you're in a small group, and the small group leader sends you a text and says, there are 6 names here, and they need your help, and we've got to rally around them. Well, you say, "Well, wow, I just did that, and now there's 6 more." And That's a lot to ask, and I'm really busy. I don't know if I really want to do that. The kids and soccer and, all my responsibilities and work and all the other things. And then you go off to sleep that night, and you say, Lord, I thought I was doing a good thing, but, there's a lot of stuff that needs to be done. There's more, and I really ought to be at that work, and I feel guilty. And then your conscience starts to play on you, and you say, am I doing the right thing here? And even more, you might be a type A personality, and you say, "Oh, maybe I'm not a Christian. Boy, if I don't feel this way, maybe I'm really not saved." And you go off to sleep, and you wake up the next morning, and you feel the same way. Well, that's what we're talking about. Is your mind can do things to yourself that are not right. And God knows the end from the beginning, right? He knows the first and the last. He knows your life. He knows the days. He knows the hairs on your head. He knows everything. We need to yield sometimes to him and not rely on our own feelings, right? It's comforting. Sometimes that God knows our heart. He nevertheless loves us and forgives us. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I bet most of you could quote that. Then over in 1 John 3:5, you know that he appeared in order to take away sin. That's very comforting, even when we fall into sin and our heart condemns us, that God knows our heart, which is convicting and comforting, ultimately comforting because he has addressed our sin problem. Only God can remove the stain of sin. Amen? Now we look at the confidence that's mentioned as we possess where John writes, verse 21, Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. Did you catch that? Whatever we ask? Wow. We come before the throne of grace as Christians, not unbelievers, but believers, with confidence, knowing what Christ has done already. We don't have to earn that confidence. Oh, the finished work of Jesus. There has to be some explanation over that whatever, though. We ask in our prayers, as you know, we need the whole of Scripture to bring in here. Whatever is the will of God, whatever is for the glory of God, and whatever is to advance the work of God, and whatever is to extend the kingdom of God. Whatever we ask, we receive from him. We want that filter of the will of God because he is infinitely wiser than we are. And we can say, praise the Lord for some of the declines he has given us sometimes. His no may have been far better than what we asked for. Amen. God does answer our prayer because we are his children. And this is becomes another mark of assurance of salvation, that we see our prayers answered because God is answering the prayers of, is not answering the prayers of unbelievers. The throne of grace is not open to them because they don't come in the name of Jesus Christ. Only believers have open access to approach him, and he answers our prayer. It becomes a validation of our salvation. John 14, 13 says, Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And then over in Matthew 7, 11, it says, If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good gifts to those who ask him? Answered prayer is then the third assurance. And then verse 22, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. Let's talk about obedience to God's commandments. There was a theologian, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He writes, How would you expect to find community while you intentionally withdraw from it at some point? The disobedient cannot believe. Only the obedient believe, end quote. This is what Pastor Brooke has emphasized the past weeks here at 1 John. Active obedience, right? Now that we just study and know his commandments, but it's that we do what pleases him. We use the filter. Would God want me to be in this place, doing this, saying this, with the group of people I'm with? Well, when we don't do things, it grieves the Holy Spirit. And God. You can reference that in Ephesians 4 and 2 Corinthians 5. Then verse 23, And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. The two commands, remember Jesus taught. What are the two greatest commands? Love the Lord with all your heart, and then love your neighbor, right? Love the brethren. Wherever, or whoever keeps his commands, verse 24, abides in God and God in him. And this is we know that he abides in us by the Spirit who he has given us. There's 4 points here that we end as we end this important section of Scripture. So do you see the love of God at work in your life? No, not perfectly. Lots of areas for growth. But are you abiding in him? Well, first, when you love other people, you're abiding in him. Sometimes there are people that only God turns around to you to grow, to actually love that individual. And you absolutely know that it's just an act of God that it happened. That is an evidence of your salvation. Second, there is no condemnation, of course, Romans 8. There's therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. When we remember to gaze at Christ, that is the fruit of assurance, letting his perfect grace and love and knowledge of everything guide our lives, no matter what we sometimes feel in condemning ourselves. And then third, this whole area of answered prayer. Answered prayer, you look back on those requests that were answered in God's perfect and superior will. Of course, if there's sin, he does not hear our prayers. There's an interesting verse in Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, and it cannot save, or his ear dull, that he cannot hear, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he does not hear. You have to get yourself in line with God's ways. Live in deed, not just in word only. But yes, answered prayer is an evidence of your assurance in Christ. And then fourth, that sense of the Holy Spirit in our lives. God's Spirit in us, Romans 8:16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Sometimes people condemn themselves for past sins, just stuck and just hoping that somehow God will let them in by some chance, as we said before. Other times a person will let the cares of the world overwhelm them, their bank account, their family issues, work. You could put anything in there. And then the more they feel the pressure, the more they stay away from God and the family of God, the church. The more they doubt, then Satan has a field day with their hearts. As they go along, they don't experience these assurances that they're saved. Is that you? Other times a person will make a quick emotional response to the gospel with no deep life-changing conviction. It doesn't start off well, so it doesn't improve unless they are once again convicted and broken before God and start to abide in him. They need to reevaluate their soul's condition. Is that you? I hope, like the soul in Matthew 13, that the message falls on good ground, that you came to the Lord having been convicted of your sins, understanding that only God can save you by Jesus' blood on Calvary, Jesus Christ being our substitute. That you put your faith in right places and that you do right things, growing in your relationship with God and realizing his assurance. That your life matters and you give it to the Lord 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. If that is you, then keep it up. Make each day a blessing, and you will delight in the Lord. And don't lose heart in well-doing. Be God's light in your school, or in the office, or wherever you are, shining brightly for him, knowing that you know you are saved and heaven-bound, so much so that you want everyone around you to know that assurance too. Are you led by God's Spirit? Listen as I read Romans chapter 8, great verses on this very subject. Romans 8, 14 to 16. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, with whom we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And then children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Now, if you look at your life and say, I don't have the works, I never acted on the gospel, and I'm sure don't have a sense of the Holy Spirit, you have one response you need to make this morning. You need to respond to Jesus and say, God, would you forgive me of my sins? Would you give me the grace of eternal life? I believe in your Son, Jesus. And when you give me life, Lord, would you fulfill your promise that you would not leave me as an orphan, but that you would give me your Holy Spirit within me? I need your help, Lord, to help do the right things. But Lord, I mess up. My heart condemns me. Lord, help me remind myself of the gospel truths. May your Holy Spirit bear witness to my heart that I'm a child of God when I begin to doubt that fact. Lord, help me to remember the truth, whereas we can have assurance of our salvation. I can have assurance of my salvation because I obey God's commands. I remember his gospel, and I'm filled with his spirit. You know, I didn't quite know how to end this message. I don't know where you're at as a Christian. You've said the prayer. You've bowed your head. You've bowed the knee to God. But you may be wandering through life with no assurance. Oh, I hope that's not the case. We can be assured and have confidence, he says, in who we are in Christ, because he did it all on Calvary's cross. It's not what we did. And it's only by his grace that we're saved. Amen? So by his love and by his grace to us, we accept Jesus Christ. You know, we have the opportunity to run into people all day and all week long, don't we? That don't know the Lord. They don't have the Holy Spirit in them. We're not surprised when they sin. We're surprised when the brethren sins. But that's the world. That's the majority now of the people. They need Jesus. And we need to have confidence in speaking to those people. So I pray as you go from this place that you would have the confidence and the assurance in your salvation. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, once again, we're called to love others, and the motivation, the power, the reason is the conviction and resurrection of Jesus. John says this is how we know. This is the crucifixion of Jesus. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Does that bring you joy? Does that give you purpose? Does that give you life? Father, I thank you for this opportunity to do this important section of Scripture that shows us that we can have confidence, not condemning ourselves. And yes, conviction is a good thing. We thank you for the conviction of sin that we have in our lives, that the Holy Spirit is in charge of that. We thank you, Lord, for that conviction. We pray that that people would avail themselves of the opportunity to come to church and quietly confess their sins. And you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord, for this day. I pray that we would have a wonderful afternoon. And I pray this in the worthy name of Jesus. And everyone said, Amen.